This story is about seafood and its sources. Now, that's not the greatest hook in the world, but I want you to imagine something for me. Imagine that you're in a seafood restaurant and the waitress is telling you the specials for that night. There's a Chilean sea bass or an Alaskan halibut or a Maine lobster or whatever, and it is wild caught, straight out of the ocean. Now, imagine you're at a fish counter at your local grocery store. Doesn't really matter what kind of grocery store, though some are better than others. You see, some fish are marked as wild and others aren't. It's the ones that are wild that you probably expect to be of higher quality. The same as the ones in the restaurant earlier, you expect them to be fresh, with a natural diet, full of vigor and exercise, probably spent its life fighting until it succumbed to some fisherman's nets or hook. That is really what the story is about. Our perception of what's wild, what's farmed, and how that impacts the marketplace.
So just introduce yourself for me, and then, introduce yourself, and then I'll start asking questions.
This is Ben Halperin.
Hi, I'm Ben Halperin. I'm a research scientist here at UCSB based at NCES, the National Center for Ecological Analysis and Synthesis.
At NCES, they recently published a study challenging the status quo of what's currently considered farmed or wild. But before we go any further, we should have Ben explain what each of those really mean.
Right now, seafood is classified as farmed or wild caught. So there's aquaculture or mariculture, that's the farmed fish. And wild-caught fish are kind of people going out in their boats catching fish with nets or with a hook and line and stuff like that. And they get classified that way to keep track of where they're coming from, the environmental impact on them, their market value, regulations that are imposed on them. So you can have all sorts of rules, for example, in farmed fishing about the amount of nutrients you can use or the types of chemicals or pesticides or things like that that are used to help grow the fish in a healthy, clean environment for the fish, but of course it causes problems for other things.
Ben is one of 13 authors of a new study published by the NCEAS, or NCES, concerning the classifications currently available to consumers when it comes to seafood. According to Ben and the other authors of the study, these two classifications aren't adequate.
Not all wild-caught fish are truly, definitely of the wild. So tuna ranches, so those are still classified as wild, even though they're farmed for half their life. So again, with these tuna ranches, they go out and catch the babies or the juveniles and then bring them into pens and raise them the rest of their lives. That's still counted as a wild fish, even though it's farmed for half of its life.
So the problem is that there's a lot of fish that aren't subject to the regulations that would be imposed on them if they were purely wild or purely farmed. And the fact that they're in between means that there's a lot of potential consequences for the environment in which they're being raised.
Well, in farmed fish, you can get genetic escapes. So individuals swim out of the pen and then they change the genetic composition of the wild population. You can get a lot of food that's used in feeding them, not actually getting eaten and just sinking to the bottom and creating this nutrient bloom that can actually be toxic to the area around it. And of course, the fish poop, they make waste, and all of that is pollution to the system when it's in really high concentrations.
A perfect example of this sort of phenomena occurring and where NCES would like to apply these kind of regulations is lobsters on the east coast of the United States.
There are so many lobster pots, all with bait in them, that the lobsters are essentially being fed, and they estimate something close to 50% of all the food consumed by the lobsters is actually bait rather than wild food. So we're essentially feeding these huge populations of lobsters. Even though they're in the wild, we are feeding them, which is what farming is, in order to grow them up and then catch them. So you get all these weird mixed hybrid systems out there.
And I'm assuming that the bait that's fed to these lobsters isn't stuff that would normally be in their environment?
No, it's sardines and stuff like that, nothing that they'd be able to swim up and get, right? So we're catching these sardines and then putting them in the pot. So it's an interesting story because there's also conflicts with the whales that eat them as well as other fisheries for them. And so you get, this is where the regulations come in. If you're not treating it as, in part, a farmed fish, these lobsters, there's all sorts of loopholes and regulatory issues that don't account for the effect on other species that this is having. So it gets quite complicated. And so the idea is by recognizing these hybrid systems, you can set regulations and rules and the science to understand it better to really focus on this third category of fish.
Now, as is usually the case, the truth is usually a little bit more complex than we'd like it to be. There's a lot of problems when talking about trying to apply these regulations internationally, and a huge amount of our seafood is, in fact, imported.
Especially one of our favorites, shrimp. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So in the United States, very little farmed fish comes from the United States. We have some salmon and some shellfish farms, but very, very few relative to other parts of the world. So most of our farmed fish is imported from Asia, from Norway, from Chile. And for shrimp, nearly all of it is farmed and nearly all of it is imported. And it's a particularly unsustainable seafood because it, and for the most part, it is farmed by destroying coastal mangroves and then putting in shrimp farm areas. And so there are wild-caught shrimp that are done with these nets called midwater trawls that are really good, and they're sustainable. We have some here in Santa Barbara, actually, the spot prawn. But most shrimp are quite unsustainable and quite damaging to the local environment, and of course, they have consequences for how the trade to developed countries influences that destruction.
So at this point, I just had to ask, does wild always mean wild? And does wild really mean better?
No and no. So there's a lot of wild-caught fish that are done completely unsustainably. Unfortunately, most of them are done unsustainably. And so a lot of our favorite fish, like bluefin tuna, is the classic example for the most part, is way over-harvested, and if we're not careful, it will disappear. Same thing with Chilean sea bass. It's almost an endangered species at this point because of the amount we're eating. So wild-caught does not mean that we're doing it in a healthy, sustainable way at all. Of course, you can, but it doesn't mean that we are by definition. So you need to do your research and understand what's going on. And then you get all this murky, blurry line area for what's wild and what's farmed. And part of this, what's so important about this, is just consumer and market awareness. You know, there's a premium put on wild-caught fish for their price, but if they're not truly wild-caught or if they're not sustainable, the consumer might be overpaying for that fish. Supermarkets or fish sellers might not be able to get as much value out of a fish if it's not actually correctly identified for whether it's sustainable, whether it's truly wild-caught, and all those issues. So it's not just an environmental issue. It's an economic issue for why we need to really be paying attention to this.
To address some of those economic concerns, I talked to this guy.
Hello, this is Bruce.
This is Bruce Choi.
My name is Bruce Choi. I'm the executive chef for the Enterprise Fish Company.
Enterprise Fish Company, for Santa Barbara locals especially, has a very good reputation for having very good seafood. And a great happy hour, too, by the way. And as one would assume for a restaurant with fish in its name, they move a lot of seafood. I wanted to ask Bruce about the habits of his customers, whether they preferred to buy wild fish, and what kind of fish he sold the most in general.
For our menu, I would have to predominantly say salmon.
Okay.
What we sell, I could just tell you exactly what we sell the most of, is salmon, our Pacific snapper, and then our salmon halibut.
Halibut.
Yeah.
And when you're listing something on the menu or you're putting the menu together, if you disclose or identify a fish as being wild, do you generally expect that to sell more, or do you...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's really worth noting here that Bruce works pretty hard with his fish buyer and with the other people that work at Enterprise to ensure that their menu is as environmentally sustainable as possible. And that's hard with fish, though it's getting easier and easier, and Bruce will explain why.
I think the people are becoming more aware of the importance of trying to maintain that correct balance. Because we're seeing so many, especially in the seafood world, we're seeing so many species that are pretty much dwindled to non-existence. And so now all these fisheries and all these farmers, they're getting all these products because the retail, the customers, our consumers are demanding it. And so they have no choice but to make that change.
The best example of this, according to Bruce, was salmon and shrimp, coincidentally.
if you were to ask me maybe about 2-3 years ago about the farmed salmon, we would say no way. Everything that was farmed salmon was bad. Nothing was approved. But just recently, though, there's a place in Washington that got approved, a coho salmon, a farmed coho salmon, and it's sustainable. Any farmed salmon, in the past was no, 0, 0, 0. But now that because there is, I think there's going to be an increase of demand for it, and that's why those other salmon farmers are going to see that they're losing out on this money that the consumers are requesting. So they will have no choice. We used to get, we have Mexican shrimp, but for this rollback, we're getting the same thing, but it's fished out of the Gulf of Mexico from Texas. And so it's the same product that we're getting, but it's being sustainably caught and at a very reasonable price.
Now that I had talked with Ben and with Bruce and gotten two different, though similar perspectives on the issue, I took to the street. I decided to walk around the farmers market in downtown Santa Barbara to see what people knew about sustainability when it came to seafood and how much they really cared about it. Okay, going to the farmers market. Do you cook fish at all?
I don't cook fish as often as I would like to, actually.
What about in a restaurant? Would you buy fish, like if there's like a fish special or something?
Yes.
Are you more likely to buy farm fish or wild fish?
Wild.
Wild? How come?
Well,
I hope that you're qualifying your survey by being clear that you're talking to a skewed audience.
How am I talking to a skewed audience?
Anyone who's going to come to the farmer's market organically, has a much higher propensity of buying wild raised animal.
So you think wild is of a higher quality or what?
Higher quality per se, but it's certainly organic.
So, well, okay.
I would say is farmed fish, if you can avoid the mercury and all that, then that's a plus for farmed.
Sure. So if you were going to buy seafood, would you buy farmed or wild, do you think?
I would buy wild.
How come?
Because it tastes better.
You think it's probably of a higher quality, natural diet, stuff like that?
Probably.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Marked as being wild or something that's farmed?
Depends what species of fish it is. I'm probably one of the more educated than general public on this stuff. So
give me an example of something that you'd probably avoid.
I would avoid farmed salmon. I would go for wild salmon. Farmed shrimp from the U.S. I would get, other than farmed shrimp from anywhere internationally. Wild shrimp can be good.
So this third category of seafood, while it might not get all the regulations in place in all the ways that we'd like for it to, it'll raise awareness and it'll educate people. The more educated the people are about the sources of seafood and the sustainability of seafood, the more likely they are to make good choices. And people do make good choices when they have the knowledge to make good decisions.
It's a supply and demand, of course. That's the most basic of things. And I think that's great, to make everyone conscious. And I think that's the most important part.
In closing, this is what Ben Halpern had to say when I asked him about how to be a knowledgeable seafood consumer.
The best advice is to use the resources that are out there, things like Seafood Watch or other kind of consumer information guides. Use someone else's resources to help guide your seafood consumption.
This is Jake Blair, signing off.